Today on Being Disciples, episode 42, Hell or Whom? Is it real? Why was it created? Who was it created for?
Welcome to the Being Disciples podcast with Pastor John. All notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us. This is a weekly podcast published every Monday that is meant to help believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ to mature in their faith. These principles should be useful to anyone who listens, but especially for the believers who are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You're invited on this journey to explore what it means to be a disciple. Let's begin by joining Pastor John with an opening prayer. Pastor John?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for so great a love that you have for us, that you sent your only begotten Son to redeem us and to restore us into a right relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that for the joy set before you, you were willing to leave the majesty of heaven to come into this world, your creation, to redeem us and to restore us into a loving relationship with the Father. Thank you for laying down your life for us, both in the living of it and in the dying. In life, you showed us how we ought to live in intimacy with the Father, following the leading of Holy Spirit and loving one another. In death, you gave your body for us, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. You were beaten, battered, and bloodied, even pierced to the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Now we ask you to give us the words to say and to open our ears and hearts to hear what you would say to us. Please bless all who join us today and all who hear this message on a recording. Amen.
Welcome to episode 42, part one of our Destination Trilogy, Hell for Whom? In my ministry here and elsewhere, I most often speak about the love of God and the great gift of salvation. But I cannot neglect the truth of what awaits those who do not receive the gift. It is said by some that Jesus spoke more about the dangers of hell than he did about heaven, warning of the dangers of following the ways of the world rather than following the ways of God. However, I have also read an article from someone showing that Jesus teaches more about heaven than hell. The fact of the matter is that Jesus did speak and teach about both heaven and hell, so we should pay attention to both teachings. Everything in the Christian life is based upon choices we make, the decisions of our mind revealing the beliefs in our heart. The final destination that awaits us is no different. We are able to determine our final destination at any point in time, that is, while we still have time available in our life. Two destinations are spoken of in Scripture with great clarity. How can we accept one as reality while denying the existence of the other? It is due to our own beliefs, opinions, and choices. Even if we refuse to accept the reality of either destination, even denying Scripture and calling God a liar, the two destinations still exist, awaiting us at the end of our days. The author of Hebrews wrote in chapter 9, verses 27 and 28, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." The choice of destination needs to be made prior to the time of death, for afterwards is the judgment, at which time our decisions and actions will either condemn us or will show us to be redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation and damnation are the only two options. The beautiful thing is that God made the way for our salvation and is calling us to accept the gift he wishes to give to us. But still, many reject the offer, and their stubborn refusal condemns them to the only alternative, damnation. Scripture reveals the reality of hell and the lake of fire, making it clear that we ought to fear and avoid these places of suffering. They were not created for mankind. Rather, they were created for Satan and the fallen angels. Matthew quotes Jesus in his gospel, telling of what happens after Jesus separates people one from another, some to his right and some to his left. In chapter 25, verse 41 of the gospel according to Matthew, we read, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Jesus tells us clearly that the eternal fire, or the lake of fire, was created for the devil and his angels. That would be Lucifer, or Satan, and the fallen angels, those who followed Lucifer in the rebellion against God. It was not originally created with the intention of being for mankind. Mankind was originally created in a loving relationship with God. That lasted until, through Adam, sin entered into the world. Because of sin, man became the enemy of God. We see this in James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But as we state over and over in these studies, God made a way for us to repent and turn back to that loving relationship mankind once had with him. And we see it in the traditional invitation verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So let's back up just a bit here. We see that the lake of fire, the eternal fire, was created for the devil and the rest of the fallen angels. Is the lake of fire the same as hell? According to a passage in Revelation, no. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 reads, Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Hades is what we refer to as hell. Hell is not permanent. It is cast into the lake of fire. Since it is cast into the lake of fire, then it must be something other than the lake of fire. So what is it? Hell is the interim destination for the spirit and soul of a person whose body is in the grave or has died, who has not received the gift of salvation. It is a place of separation from knowing the blessings of God and the good company of other people. After the coming of Antichrist, there will be a millennial age during which Christ will reign and rule on the earth. After that age, there will be the time of judgment of all souls, known as the Great White Throne Judgment. That will be the final judgment of all souls and the assignment of the final destination for each individual. As we read earlier, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. As we also read, the place of eternal fire was prepared for the devil and the angels who rebelled against God along with him. So why would a man or woman be sent there? God has a with me or against me attitude. We see this in the words of Jesus. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, we see Jesus saying, Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Jesus again addresses his disciples. This time we read in John chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. This example of the pruning of branches and throwing them into the fire is vivid. I think we can all relate to the pruning of trees, vines, shrubs, etc. Sometimes what needs to be cut away is dead, and other times it is what is not producing fruit. I think we can all relate to fire as well. Whether in a fireplace, a fire pit, a barrel, or anywhere else, we watch the fire consume that which is being burned. That which is cut away, thrown away, and burned represents those who are not working with God. The verse in Matthew relates the idea of gathering with Christ or scattering as in acting against Christ. There are only two groups of people, those who are with Christ Jesus and those who are not with him. Let's once again take a look at what took place in the ancient past. God created mankind in his image. God had a loving relationship with his created beings. Sin entered into the world through one man, Adam. The intimate relationship between God and man was broken due to sin and the failure of man to remain faithful to God. God initiated his plan to restore the relationship with his creation. The Father sent his Son as the perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty for the sinfulness of mankind. The free gift from God, the gift of salvation, the gift of his love for us, was offered to every person without cost to any person. It is a gift. And each person determines his or her final destination based on whether or not he or she receives the free gift of salvation. At times, we tend to think we have a choice between heaven and hell. That is the wrong way to look at this. Because of sin in our lives, every person has the destination of hell guaranteed to them if something isn't done about it. The choice is only one way, And that is, a person can choose to follow Christ and the ways of God instead of following the ways of the world. In so choosing, each person can change the destination from hell to heaven. This is accomplished through the good news of the gospel. We must determine what we believe about God as our Creator, about Jesus as our Savior, and about the free gift of salvation. We read about God loving His creation and sending His Son with a message of God's love that those who believe would receive eternal life. The next verse tells us that the Son did not come to condemn the world at that time. John 3:17 reads, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." Jesus did not condemn the world or bring judgment upon the sinful. But for those who would not believe in Him and in His gift of salvation, He did not release them from the consequences of their sin. This is revealed in the next verse of the passage in John, John 3:18, which reads, "Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." That condemnation was the original penalty of sin, from sin entering the world through the one man, Adam. The escape from that penalty is through the one man, Jesus of Nazareth, the only Son of God. Our choice to be made is, will we believe in the only Son of God or not? We can be delivered or set free from the penalty of sin by choosing to believe in Christ Jesus and His sacrifice to pay our debt. That is a debt that we could not pay, and a debt that He did not owe. It is a gift of love. In refusing to believe in the Son, in rejecting the free gift of salvation, the declaration is to remain in the status quo. There is no other option. Without deliverance from the penalty of sin, we remain enslaved to it. Jesus explained this to the Jews who had believed. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 8, verses 34 and 35, we see Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Jesus then shifts and appears to be addressing those who did not believe. Some even thought, due to their religion, that they were children of God, declaring in verse 41, "We have one Father, even God." Jesus set the record straight, revealing they are of their father, the devil. In the Gospel according to John, we read in chapter 8, verses 42 to 47, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reasons why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." I share all of this to make this point. Our father is the devil unless we receive the gift of God and are given the right to become the children of God. The choice is ours. In John chapter 1, verse 12, we read, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." We will follow our father. God, the father of the Son, is the father for those who believe. The devil is the father of those who do not believe. There is a definite division between the two groups. At the day of judgment, Christ Jesus the Lord will divide the two groups, gathering one on his right and the other on his left. As we read earlier, to those he gathered on his left, he said, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." If a person's preference is to reject Christ and remain in the family of the devil, who is their father, they will go where he goes. To the righteous, those covered by the righteousness of Christ, those gathered on his right, the Son had a different message. In Matthew 25:34, we read, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Choosing whether or not to follow Christ does not come from a neutral position. We all begin in a position of not being able to enter heaven and not having access to the Father, as that only comes from and proceeds through Christ. This does not begin from a neutral or even safe position, but from a position of eternal consequence due to sin in the world and in our life. Hell is real, and the lake of fire is real. It is the final destination for whom? We'll take a look at that after we pause here for a minute to hear from Garrett, a reminder of where you can see these notes and use them to further study on your own.
Let's take just a moment to remind you that all notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, it's virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study.
Thank you for those reminders, Garrett. Today we're going to do a little something different. I'm not going to have a conversation with anyone. There is more to cover in this topic, and rather than have a conversation with many opinions and outlooks, I just want to present a few more scriptures, and we'll just have a shorter episode today. But you need to have this information so you can truly consider which destination you want for all of eternity. So let's continue on. Hell is real. The lake of fire is real. It is the final destination for whom? So we continue with sin is a reality in life for both those who believe and those who have yet to believe. There are a couple of differences between the two groups of people. The first difference is that those who have repented, humbled themselves before God, and surrendered their lives to Christ Jesus have received forgiveness for their sinfulness. Those who have not done so continue to carry the burden for their sinfulness rather than acknowledging by faith that Christ Jesus paid that debt on the cross. Jesus even warned his disciples to be watchful concerning their behavior. In the Gospel according to Mark chapter 14, we read in verse 38, Jesus speaking, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Another difference is a change in lifestyle and choices made. Though the forgiven person may stumble in occasional sin while still in this world, the sinful lifestyle has been left behind while working out a lifestyle of righteousness by faith and the power of God. The person who has yet to receive the forgiveness in Christ will continue on in the sinful ways of the world and seek to satisfy the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. This lifestyle cannot continue if one is to enter the kingdom of God. Speaking of the final kingdom destination, specifically the New Jerusalem, the Apostle John writes in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 27, "But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Among the questions I think of from this verse are, what is considered to be detestable or false? And what is the Lamb's Book of Life? In basic terms, the detestable and false is sinfulness. The Apostle Paul gets a bit more specific in his letter to the believers at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, we read, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And again, he shared this with Timothy, a young pastor he oversaw. In his letter, 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, we read, "Now we know that the law is good, if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, or murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted." The issues Paul spells out in the first century are the same issues we have in the 21st century. any one of us can go through these lists and find our own issues. All of these issues are offensive to God as issues of immorality. Any one of us can be forgiven if we turn away from them and turn to Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of our sin. Anyone who chooses to remain in a sinful lifestyle, rather than humble oneself before Almighty God, will not be permitted into the kingdom of God, and thus remain on the path to the lake of fire, following the devil all the way there. The lake of fire is the only alternative destination to the kingdom of God. Some churchgoers, those who have not truly turned to God in humility and received forgiveness for their sin, are also destined for the lake of fire. Religious practices, rituals, and good works will not qualify one to enter the kingdom of God. Matthew records a teaching of Jesus warning the people of such a thing. We read in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" The missing ingredient for this group of religious people is the personal relationship with Christ Jesus that comes through being given the right to become a child of God. We read in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This is the new birth. It is spiritually being born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus in chapter 3 of the Gospel according to John. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Another thing we see in the teaching in that passage from Matthew is that there is no negotiation. It is here and now that we make our decision and determine our eternal destination. The day of judgment at the great white throne is too late. Jesus also tells the people of his day concerning the law of God that they were not to be careless in their behavior. Interestingly, during this Sermon on the Mount, he used his frequent accusers as an example. It's recorded in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Jesus says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Pharisees knew the law of God. They even kept the law as best they could at times. The shortcoming was their self-righteousness. We once again see that something on our part needs to be done. We need to be born again and take on the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We cannot be good enough on our own. In the following verses in Matthew, Jesus tells of the Pharisees' teaching of the law. He follows each example with his telling of the raised standard of the intent of the law. For example, not just murder, but hatred. Not just adultery, but lustful intent. Plus more on divorce, oaths, retaliation, and loving your enemies. Another time, Jesus told his disciples of the need to be childlike in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. The implication is that those who are not childlike in their faith will not enter the kingdom of heaven. We read in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 4, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" The initial question of the disciples is self-centered concerning their own stature and standing. The innocence of the child was the example. The faith a child has in believing those he trusts in his life was the example of the faith the disciples must have. The phrase, "unless you turn and become like," tells us that the disciples were not yet where they needed to be. Once again, we see that it is a matter of humbling oneself and depending on Christ Jesus, as our self-righteousness will not be sufficient for entering the kingdom of heaven. The seriousness of the matter is driven home when Jesus says, "You will never enter the kingdom of heaven." How many people are sitting in pews of churches thinking they are godly, but denying the power of God due to their lack of proper instruction or their lack of willingness to humble themselves? There are also those who sit in church pews giving the appearance of being people of faith, but who have not actually surrendered to the Lord. There are remnants of believers in every church, and there are those who do not truly believe, though they appear to be in the faith, sitting in the pew next to believers. The wheat and the weeds have grown among one another. Jesus speaks of this in a parable in Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. He tells of them being sorted at the harvest, the weeds being burned, and the wheat being taken in. This is another telling of the final judgment where the sheep and goats will be sorted, as in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. The unrighteous, the goats, go off to eternal punishment. The righteous, the sheep, go on to eternal life. So for whom is hell and the lake of fire for? As we discovered, it is for the devil and the fallen angels who rebelled against God. That is who it was originally created for. Now, in addition, it's for those who follow their father, the devil, being those who choose to remain in their sinful lifestyle, those who reject Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior, those who are religious without a relationship with Christ, those who think they've kept the law, but we all fail, so the self-righteous, those without childlike faith, that's the self-centered and prideful. And isn't pride the root of all sin? Good thing to think about. And those whose names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we get to that second question from that original verse. The Lamb's Book of Life is where the names of those who follow Christ are recorded. We see this once in Paul's letter to the Philippians and six times in the book of Revelation. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life." And one of the passages in Revelation is chapter 20, verse 15. It says, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." At the great white throne judgment, books are opened. I believe the books include those that were written for us by God before we were created. We see one example of this in Psalms 139, verse 16. "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." And of course, the Lamb's Book of Life was also opened. It appears there may also be a book of the history of the life we have lived. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 12, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done." At the end of the judgment, all that is not in the kingdom of heaven is cast into the lake of fire. In chapter 20 of Revelation, we continue on with verses 13 through 15, where it says, "And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Those who serve Satan and those who refuse to follow the Lord will follow Satan into the lake of fire. So I encourage you to contemplate this and contemplate why it is, if you have not surrendered to the Lord as your Savior and you have not declared him to be the Lord of your life and received the free gift of salvation, the forgiveness of your sins. Meditate that and ask yourself why. The time is short. The end of these days is coming. And none of us know which is our final day on this earth. So I encourage you to contemplate these things. And then join us next week when we look at heaven. And is that really the final destination? Or is that a way over, like hell, that leads to something else? And then in the third part, we will discuss the security of our salvation. Can we really trust God to do what he said he will do? So I ask you to please consider these words and go before the Lord Jesus Christ with a humble heart. And ask for forgiveness, and you will receive it. Next time, we'll consider destination heaven. Is this our final destination or a stopover? What is our final destination for those who have received the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ? Join us next time as we explore this on Being Disciples.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Being Disciples. The show is hosted on Podbean. You can find it at beingdisciples.podbean.com. Again, it's beingdisciples.podbean.com. There you can find all episodes of this podcast. There's also a Patreon button you can use to support this broadcast if you feel so moved, and we thank you. You can also find us on your favorite podcast platform. The notes and links for this show can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us, virtual study with us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. From the site, you can contact us if you would like to join a study group. If you have questions or comments for Pastor John, you can contact him by email at john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us. That's john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us, or through the contact form on the main page of the website. Please subscribe to this podcast and join us again next week as we learn more about being disciples.